Guys, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to be in verses 10 through 16. So just get there as quick as possible, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through 16. And I'm going to read this whole... I'm going to just read verses 1 on down through just so we can kind of get a lay of the land where we've been at. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God of Sothenius... and Sothenius, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and knowledge, and even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together, same mind, same judgment. For it's been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, and am I of Christ? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. At least anyone should say that I baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized any other. We've been traveling in the book of Corinthians, and we're going to probably spend the next year here on Sunday mornings, but I want us to get a lay of what Paul is who he's talking to and the people group who he's addressing in this letter one more time, just so we can understand where we've been going and what the Lord has been showing us. And as we look at this, what we're going to see through Paul is God's heart for this people at Corinth in this Greek city. Remember, this was a place of wealth and pleasures. The flesh ruled in this city. The people of Corinth were known around the world for their immorality. The city was lost and the city was sinking in sin. But God in His grace sent Paul to Corinth and a church was planted in the city to share the good news of Jesus Christ. 3 years later, Paul's at Ephesus. He started another church and he starts hearing things about this church at Corinth in which he planted. Now, most scholars believe that there was a letter sent before this letter was sent, but that letter's been lost, so it's not that important, okay? Let's don't focus on that. But also understand this, a delegation was probably sent to Paul in regards to things that were going on in this fellowship, and also there was a letter from Chloe about things going on in this fellowship. So now, Paul is responding to all the things that are going on within this body of believers in this city in Corinth. And that's where we get 1 Corinthians. And if you want to check those references for a letter that was sent that was lost, check out 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If you want to see about Chloe's reports, 1 Corinthians 1:11. A delegation that may have been sent, 1 Corinthians 7:1. You can look that up on your own. But now let's just look at the master surgeon, the Lord. And He knows how to use the scalpel. And Paul's the scalpel in this. And He does it in such an incredible way. And look what He says in the very beginning of the greeting. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sothenius, our brother. Remember, the 2B is in italics. And the reason why is the translators thought that it would help us out with the translation. But understand this. The correct reading is called an apostle. Paul, in these opening statements, and we're going to look at this one more time. And these opening statements says, hey, I want you guys to understand something. God changed the direction of my life. He called me by His will to be an apostle, one who's sent to tell the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He sent me to you. And not only that, I want you to also hear me on this. Sothenius is our brother. He was the guy that was over the ruler of the synagogue in Corinth. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. God's all about changing lives and changing directions of lives. And you know what? I'm evidence of that. I, Paul, am evidence of that, and so is Sothenius, our brother. Verse 2, I want you to understand something, who you are in Christ. God planted that church there. You didn't start that church there. And the church is God's bride. And He wants them also to know that you're sanctified. You've been set apart. And He wants these guys to also know that you guys are called saints. You're not called to be saints. You're called saints. And He also wants these guys to know, hey, we're family. Because He's not just your Lord. He's our Lord. We're family, guys. So in just these first two verses in these greetings, Paul, through God's heart and through His grace, paints this beautiful picture of God's changing lives. And because He's our Lord and He's our Savior, we are family. And we're going to see why He addresses them in this manner as we look at the text today. But we'll get there in just a second, okay? Verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, guys, remember when you were first saved? What did you receive? You experienced God's grace in your life, which is God's unmerited favor. And because you've experienced God's grace, then you experience the peace of God. See, we never experience the peace of God and then God's grace. We always experience God's grace first, and then the peace of God comes into our lives. He says, you remember what it was like when you were saved? You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ knocked on your heart that day and opened your eyes and unstopped your ears? What happened in your life? You experienced His grace, and then the peace of God transcended in your life. You remember that, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul thanks God for these guys. And this is a thanksgiving and prayer for these guys. And listen to what he says. I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Now understand something. As we're going through this book, would you thank the Lord for these folks? I mean, you look, if you got a study Bible, you look at the outline. First, he's going to deal with divisions, and then he's going to deal with the causes of divisions, and then he's going to deal with sexual morality in the church, and there's a bunch of things that's going on that he's going to have to deal with. And they accepted Paul's ministry when he started the church. But after he left and different folks came in or whatever, they attached themselves to those folks, and they really didn't want any part of Paul. In a sense, they were always kind of a thorn in Paul's side. But Paul's heart is God's heart. And this is what God says. I thank God always concerning you. And why is he thanking? Because the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. I'm thanking you for the work that God's doing in your life right now that you may not be even aware of. And there's three things he pointed out. That you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. You guys are speaking of Jesus. You're pointing to Jesus. And he's been confirmed in you. So praise God for that grace that's taken place in your life. You guys are saints. Praise God for that. And then he says, so that you come no short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing is you guys have spiritual gifts. And we'll look at this church and we'll see what this church is doing. And they are operating in the Spirit, but they're not operating under the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for the gift of the Spirit that's moving and working among you. Praise God for that. And then he says on top of that, that you also are waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, you guys are looking for Christ's return. And see, these are all effects of God's grace in their life. And he's saying, I thank God for that taking place in your life. It's an awesome greeting that he has for these folks. It's an awesome prayer he has for these folks. Before the Lord ever deals with the problems that are going on within this fellowship, he greets them and reminds them who they are in Christ. Now understand something. He's constantly pointing back to the Lord Jesus Christ through this whole epistle. Not only that, he says, you guys experience God's grace. Look at the effect of God's grace in your life, and I'm going to thank God for that as well. This is God's heart talking through Paul to these folks. Number three, or the last thing in verses 8 through 9, what we looked at last week. Listen to what he says, and understand this. If you've come to saving knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ in your life and you're saved, he's going to finish what he started. He's not going to leave it incomplete. I hate things that are incomplete. It drives me nuts. That's not to say I always complete things, but I hate things that are incomplete. Listen to what he says. Who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord. God is faithful by whom you were called into fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And remember, Jesus Christ our Lord is not a name, it's a title. I shared with you last week, my name, real name, is Jonathan Ray Knox, but I've always been called Johnny, so it's Johnny Ray Knox. I don't particularly like that. The Jonathan doesn't sound so bad, but the Johnny Ray I don't particularly get jazzed up about, okay? You guys are laughing, that's okay. But you see what I'm saying? This is a title. This is not, okay, this is His first name, Jesus Christ, Lord. Okay, Christ is not His middle name, Lord's not His last name. This is an official title of who He is. Lord is deity, Jesus is, He is salvation, and Christ is, He was sent to deliver you. So see what Paul is doing? He's pointing back to the solution to deal with the problem. He's pointing back, how was this church founded? Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is the solution for every problem, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's relational. He is the solution for every problem. Not that He's going to alleviate those things sometimes in the physical realm, but through God's grace and the peace that we have in a relationship with Him, yes, those things can be alleviated. For when a soul offers himself to Jesus truly humbly, a man once said, putting all his trust and desire in Him and busy keeping our mind on our Lord Jesus, He purges the affection of the soul, fills it and feeds it with the sweetness of Himself. He makes His name feel in the soul in honey and as song and as anything that is delectable, so that the soul evermore wants to cry, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So the Lord, the master surgeon, is taking the scalpel, which is Paul, and he starts doing surgery. But he didn't just go from point A to point B. Okay, he went right to the problem, okay? You guys need to get focused back on Christ. You need to get focused back on who you are in Jesus Christ. You need to get focused back on the fact that I have poured my grace upon your life and you've experienced peace. That's the best way we could sum up those two things right there. Now the Lord's going to start dealing with the problems that were going on within this fellowship. And the number one thing was division. But see, we can't really talk about division until we talk about what really brings unity together, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He keeps mentioning that. So let's look. Verse 10a. Now look at Paul's heart. After all that said, Paul starts addressing the problem. Not problems, but just one problem. Now look at his heart. How do we know that verses 1 through 9 was not just lip service? To suck up to these guys, to get them softened up for what he had to say. Listen to what he says in verse 10a. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To plead is to beg. You ever had anyone plead with you? Have you ever seen anyone beg? I mean, plead. Plead for forgiveness or beg for forgiveness. Paul's pleading with them. And think about it. Does Paul really have to plead with anybody? I mean, he's a pastor. He's an apostle. He's a church planter. He's been called by God. God has put him in a place of authority. He started this church. He planted it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he really have to plead with anybody? What would you do? What does the business world do? Does the boss plead with you to work? Doesn't plead with me. I still work. I've been a machinist for 20-something. My boss has never pleaded with me to show up to work. Here's Paul, the person who's in authority, and he says, now I plead with you. After I have pointed you back to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have looked at how He's been pouring His grace and His peace upon your life, I want to plead with you. No, Paul's heart is the Lord's heart. He pleads with them, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To plead is to beg, to implore. Paul does not have to plead with these guys. He's an apostle. God's given him a place of authority. But Paul starts his case by pleading. Church Leadership 101, to be in leadership, one must be willing to humble himself. That's if you want leadership, if you desire leadership in the church, God's calling you to that place of position. Understand something. The first place that He's going to start working is you're going to humble yourself. Whether you're the worship leader, Sunday school teacher, whether you're an usher, that's what God calls. Humbling ourselves is realizing it's about Jesus and Him alone. It's not about my rep. It's not about my character. It's about what is Christ wanting to do. I love Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. How does God make himself of no reputation? Think about it. The creator of the universe, the God that tilts the earth upon its axis, the God that says, Atlantic, I'm sorry, you're not going this far. Pacific, you're staying right there. How does he make himself of no reputation? By taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. A wise man once said, humility does not consist in simply thinking cheaply of oneself, so much as not thinking of oneself at all and of Christ more and more. Paul pleads, therefore Paul leads. And we're going to see as we look through this book, when Paul starts defending his ministry, when he doesn't even have to defend his ministry, you're going to look at the defense that he points to. He's been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. He's fasted. He's gone without meals. He's been misunderstood. He's a bondservant of Christ. That's church leadership 101. Look at verse 10b. That you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you all be perfectly joined together, same mind, same judgment. What does Paul plead with these guys? That these guys would be united and not divided. I want to ask you a question, and this is just a common sense question. If this chair is divided, does it really function? If that door is divided on the hinges, does it really work? If the car that you drove up in is divided down the middle, is it going to go anywhere? No, it's not. Start thinking about that just for a moment. If my body is divided, and that would be gross, but you know, just work with me. Am I going anywhere? If your house is divided in the middle, is it much of a house? Paul starts pleading with these guys to get united, not be divided. The Greek word for divided, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it because you just make fun of me later, is cynicism. Okay, that's where we get our English word. It does not mean a party or faction. It means to tear, to render, to break apart. You ever seen anything tore apart? Okay, a piece of paper tore into, ripped into. Do you guys remember Stretch Armstrong? Do you remember Stretch Armstrong? Okay, what was the cool thing about Stretch Armstrong? You could pull him, right? Did you ever pull him apart? Well, you didn't have much fun. Do you guys remember Stretch Armstrong? You remember Stretch Armstrong? He was the guy you could pull. Okay. I never had him personally, but some friends of mine did, and you know what we did? We pulled him apart. I mean, being mean to Stretch Armstrong like that, pulling him apart and having all of his Stretch Armstrong sand get in the carpet. It's not a party or a faction. It means to tear. It means to rend. And Paul stands, stop ripping each other up. Start tearing up the body of Christ. Stop tearing up the body of Christ. See, this church was being torn apart. And how many times have we seen churches torn apart? It's always ugly. It's always messy. And you know who gets hurt in the process? Stretch Armstrong. The people get hurt. The body of Christ gets hurt. Who bleeds when the church is stretched? Jesus does. How many times have we seen it? How many times have we seen it? Remember, the church is not a business. The church is the body of Christ made up of people who have been saved. Paul is pleading, stop ripping each other up. Is that not worth pleading for? Verse 10, and he gives the opposite, 10c, the opposite of being torn apart is to be joined together. But that you be perfectly joined together, same mind, and in the same judgment. It's a medical word, joined together, used of knitting bones together that have been fractured, or joining together a joint that's been dislocated. You ever had anything dislocated? It hurts. Way back when, in 1989, when I was a senior in high school, and played football for Mount Vernon Tigers, purple and white Tigers. Okay, how many Tiger football teams are there in East Texas? There's plenty of them, right? I was running downfield on a kickoff opening play, and this guy dislocates my shoulder. And it hurt. Now, what's the remedy for a dislocated shoulder? Just hoping it's going to just get well? What do you have to do? You pop it back in place. And that's what they did, and it hurt. Paul's saying, you guys have been ripping each other, you've been tearing each other apart. There's factions, there's divisions. You need to get united. You need to get this thing popped back in place. You need to get this bone set. It needs to be cured. Paul's not saying that these guys are to be like Christian robots, programmed the same way. That's ridiculous. I know without a doubt that there are some things that I view that Stephen probably views way differently. There's some things that Stephen views that I view way differently. There's some things Joan and Carl view that I view way differently. There's some things I view that they weigh differently. See, he's not saying you guys be like Christian robots. What he's saying is, can you get together and acknowledge the fact who's the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to do, because that's what they've got their eyes off of. Do you realize that if we just get our eyes and our hearts and our focus on the fact that it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, all this other stuff does what? It becomes so minuscule. If we can't agree on the one thing that's the main thing, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, then everything else becomes major. What's the major thing that we have to agree upon? The Lord Jesus Christ. What's the major thing we have to agree upon? You know what? I was bought with His blood. I was saved with His blood. He was crucified for me. If we can't agree on that, then you know what? There is all kinds of problems. And we're not going to get into why there's different denominations and all that other mess. Let's just look at what was going on in this fellowship. And what was going on in this fellowship is the fact that they got away from the Lord Jesus Christ and they started focusing on all these other things. You guys need to be of the same mind. Remember whose name Paul pleaded by? The Lord Jesus Christ. And what is His mind like? What is His mind like? Let this mind be also within Christ Jesus. This is Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance of man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death. That's the mind of Christ. Let's go on and see what happens here. Look at verses 11 and 12. See, Paul starts dealing with the issue of what caused the break and the fracture. Have you ever heard something fracture and break? It kind of sounds sick, doesn't it? You know. It's kind of like a pumped shotgun. You pump it, you know what it is. You hear a break in a bone, you know what it is. And here's an important question to think. How many times have we heard the break within fellowships and didn't even acknowledge that's what it was? We might see it later on, but initially at some point in time there was a break. Verses 11 to 12, and look at this. Now, here's the thing. Now I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Apollos. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, verse 11. For it has been declared to me concerning you. Okay? It's been declared to me concerning you, my brethren. He calls them brothers. He calls them family. He's not ripping them. He's talking to them as their family. He's talking to them out of concern. By those of Chloe's household. Remember, the church was hanging out there. That's what they did. They met in households at that time. That there are contentions among you. It's been declared to me from Chloe's household that there are contentions among you. One thing to note, for Paul to have been aware of the problem, somebody had to talk to him about the problems. And think about that for a moment. He would have no idea what the problems were unless someone told him. And also, the someone that did told him did not mind having their name attached to the accusations being made. See, if we're going to make a charge, we need to show up for court. Chloe did. She's not gossiping. She's sharing out of real concern. How do we know? Because she's not doing this in the dark. She's willing to put her name at the end of the statement. And I think that's something we need to remember and something we need to look at. Well, there's problems in this and you need to take care of this problem. Okay, well then you need to come with me, because I didn't see it. Did you see it? Are you willing to stand in the light on it? and be a witness about it? No, no, no. Well, then you know what? We can't deal with it. Because then it just becomes hearsay, right? She's willing to have her name attached. That takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? Who likes drama? Except on TV. I mean, come on. No one likes it. I don't like it. I mean, it just annoys me to no end some of the things that we seem to have to deal with sometimes. But what's better? Having an arm that's kind of dangling in the wind? Or an arm that's set that's going to heal and mend properly? Let's remember this, because you know what? Sometimes the folks in leadership are not aware of the problems because no one's told them. But if we're going to approach leadership, we need to be willing. We need to be willing to say, okay, yeah, I'll show up for that. Because it's about mending, right? It's about mending. It's not church discipline, or if there has to come to a place of church discipline, it's not about putting people in their spot and doing it. It's about mending taking place. It's about mending taking place. Here's the issue, and this is what these guys are focused on. I want to ask you a question. How many ministries are focused on that? And not Christ. See, one group says, I'm of Paul. He started the church. He's my man. You know, I'm linked to the founding father of this church. That's my guy. Another guy says, I'm Apollos. He's a first-rate Bible teacher. And man, he was. He was a very good Bible teacher. Man, he can feed me some meat. That's my guy. That's who I'm about. One group says, I'm Cephas, man. Pete tells it like it is. He's a rock. Now, some scholars believe that may not necessarily what have been taking place. Paul may have substituted those names not to really call anybody out that was going to that fellowship. That's irrelevant. It really does not matter. The bottom line is, he's like, you guys are focused on some person the Lord's put in leadership, and you're not focused on the Lord Himself. You're attaching yourself to some guy, and you're forgetting who you're attached to. I love what Stephen said before he sang that Matt Redman song, Oh Lord, You Never Let Go. Sometimes we feel like we're the ones holding on to the Lord. No, the Lord's holding on to us. Oh, and then there's the last group, which is the worst group. Well, I'm of Christ. Forget you guys. I just serve Jesus. Okay, really? Thank you. These are the worst, and here's why. All I do is follow Jesus all day long. So really, Jesus set up church leadership for no purpose whatsoever? He set church leadership up. The church didn't set leadership up. And here's the thing. Who likes the word accountability? Everybody likes the word accountability. Until when? We're asked to be held accountable. Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 13. And He gave Himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teacher. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to perfect man, the measure of stature, the fullness of Christ. Has anybody arrived in Christ yet? No. God raises up pastors. God raises up evangelists. God does that. He sets up the leadership in the church. So we can't just say, well, you know what, I'm just going to follow Jesus and I'm going to blow this off. We can't, because that's not the way the Lord set it up. Now, each one of these is really focused on man and pride in some form or fashion, right? That's the issue. Now Paul's going to apply the medicine. And understand this, the medicine is the cure for all of life's problems, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how masterfully God is dealing with the issues in this fellowship? From the very get-go and the way that He greets them, He's not putting His finger on their chest and shoving them down and pushing them down. He's saying, you know what, you guys are saints. You've been sanctified. You know what, we're family. Look at what I've done with Paul's life. Look what I've done with Sothenia's life. Look at what I'm doing. Not only that, I want to thank God for you always. Now, you know what? You read this book and you look at these guys, you've got to be asking yourself, are these folks really saved? God said they were. He says, I want to thank God concerning you for the grace that's been poured over your life. And this is what I see manifested in your life. And then he starts applying the medicine. Then he starts surgically doing the operation. He said, okay, we got to start right off the get-go. As you guys are divided. You're focused on the wrong thing. You're focused on man. You've totally missed the boat. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he mentions his name over and over and over in this epistle. The medicine. And he's a cure for all. Those chairs do that. I mean, you're not the first victim of falsified sounds because of those chairs. You think you are today. But everybody in here has had that look on their face that you had. Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 6. Surely he's borne our grief and carried our sorrows, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. All we are like sheep gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says it all. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Jesus does not belong to one party or another. He's not divided. Think about that for a minute. Have we ever thought we've had the market cornered on Jesus? Unfortunately, we probably have. We just didn't realize it. That's not how he works. You know, the thing about denominations sometimes when they get kind of wacky is when they think they're the only one that's really serving the Lord. Okay, now, if that denomination does not believe that one is saved through a resurrected, a crucified, resurrected Lord, that Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of God, and the only way we can get into heaven is by claiming and asking him to come into our lives. I mean, that's what makes us the bride of Christ, that we've been redeemed, that we've been washed in the blood, that we've come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if a fellowship or a church does not acknowledge that, well then, sorry, I don't think Christ is not hanging out there. Because for a church to present the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, they're preaching Christ crucified, they're preaching Christ resurrected, they're preaching Christ returned. Fellowships that are doing that, I mean, you can never get to that point where we're the only one that's serving the Lord, really. Christ is not divided. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a short version of the gospel, is it not? Number two, is there any man who can take the place of Christ? Was Paul crucified for you? Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me. And the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ. He's living in me. We don't want to be someone's Savior. We don't want to do that. We can't do that. Finally, whose name were you baptized in? Not mine. You were saved and then you desired to be baptized in His name because the old life was buried and you were raised in newness of life. It's about Jesus. That's what he's trying to get these guys to know and get these guys focused back on. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The very basis for wanting to get baptized is you get saved. It's just a natural byproduct of that. It's like, I want to get baptized. I want a public identification with a risen Lord. My old life has been buried. I've been raised up in newness and life. It's not the other way around. We get baptized and then we get... No, that's not how it works. Paul's saying, whose name were you baptized in? You weren't baptized in my name. The whole process, the whole procedure, the whole thing of doing that was because you got saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and you were baptized in His name. I just dunked you. That's it. I love Paul's heart in verses 14 through 16. Listen to what he says. I thank God I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. He's like, I know I baptized those two guys. Lest anyone should say I baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. I baptized that household. I know I did that. Paul is grateful he did not baptize any more folks than he did because he did not desire to fuel the fire of those folks being blinded by their pride. Hey, the founder of the church dunked me. Paul's ministry is not about how many fish he has on the stringer or how many fish he has in the live well. Okay? That's not the point of Paul's fishing, to come home with a stringer full of fish to impress people. I don't know whether I baptized any other. Notice Paul is not only writing about the Lord Jesus Christ. His life exemplifies being under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something to note as well. Don't glory in the vessel the Lord uses. Glory in God. He's not patting himself on the back. Hey, look at this stringer. Look in this life well. Look how many fillets I've got sitting here to the side. Don't glory in the vessel. Glory in the one who's filling the vessel. See, he's not only writing about the lordship of Jesus Christ, he is under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 12, verse 12 through 13. I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so it's become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. It's a beautiful... You know, do you guys like watching that medical channel where they do procedures and stuff? Praise God you don't. I don't know who would want to, but, you know, I guess you guys do. Okay, well... I'm going to be in the back and I'll pray for you. No, I'm kidding. But this is a masterful job of the start of a surgery that God's doing on this fellowship. You just got to love what He's doing. And isn't that what He does with all of us? Seriously. We experience God's grace and then He starts working and He starts doing surgery and He starts cutting away the things that need to be cut away of in our lives. In closing, I want us to take these things home. If someone is in Christ, that means someone's saved. Look at the grace that's been poured on their lives through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did. I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God given to you by Christ Jesus. Look past the rough edges. We've all got rough edges, okay? That's just the way it is. Look past that. Look for Jesus instead. And praise God for what Jesus is doing in their life right now. Number two, if we desire to be a leader, we first need to be a pleader. And a pleader cares. A pleader pleads the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Part of pleading sometimes is interceding and praying and pleading to God to work and move in that person's life. I think when we become callous and indifferent to things, that's a good indication of where our heart is at. I mean, if I'm Paul, I got to be honest with you, I would pull what little hair I have out. Seriously. I've already sent you one letter. You sent a delegation to me that I didn't even want to mess with. I said, I'm not talking to you right now. I'm busy. Chloe sent back this. And just look at his heart and look at what God's doing through this man for this church. Number three. Divisions are bigger than cliques. They are fractures made by men who are focused on men and not the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking the same thing is agreeing on who Jesus is, our Lord Jesus Christ. Only then will there be a joining perfectly together take place. Fractures have to be set back in place to heal properly. That's what the master physician does. Number four. If problems occur through God's leading, okay, if we see problems, let's have a little discernment about this. Not everything we see is necessarily a problem. Sometimes that's a preference, okay? A problem is what was going on here. This group of, well, you know, I'm just about Paul. You guys stink. We're over here doing the Paul thing. I'm just about Apollos. You guys stink. We're over here just doing the Apollos thing. I'm just about, you guys stink. We just got our own little thing. Oh, I'm of Christ. I'm by myself. That's why you're sitting by yourself, okay? that's not it. Okay, that's problems. Through God's leading, we need to speak up and stand up. We do, if we see them. And if we can't stand by a statement, then it's best that we probably stay seated. Number five, finally, what's church about? What's it really about? If you just get down to the brass tacks of things, our Lord Jesus Christ who was crucified for us. That's what church is about. It's about Jesus, not about vessels He uses. It's about Jesus, our risen Lord, and He is the cure for every problem we will ever encounter. Now, does that mean that He'll alleviate the problem? No. What that does mean, He comes in and He takes us in an incredible way, and oh Lord, You never let go. You never let go of me. Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 7 says, "Surely He's borne our grief and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed Him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we are like sheep that gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to a slaughter, and sheep before His shearers is silent, so He not opened His mouth." And I got to ask you today, where are you at in regards to Jesus? Do you know Him as the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He your Savior? There's not anything better than coming to the realization, as Lord, I can't make it without You. There's not anything better than to be clean for the first time in our lives. To say, you know what, yes, I believe in that risen Lord. Yes, I believe I have a sin problem. And yes, Lord Jesus, I'm asking You to come into my heart. Would You please wash me? Would You please cleanse me? It's easier than buying a car. Why would we want to be focused on that? Guys, I'm going to be in the back as Stephen plays. And if you need prayer, if you need anything, I'm back there. If you're not sure where you're at with the Lord Jesus, then I'm back there for that kind of conversation as well. Let's pray. There for that kind of conversation as well. Let's pray. There for that kind of conversation as well. Let's pray. There for that kind of conversation as well. Let's pray. There for that kind of conversation as well. Let's pray.